Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you this evening.
Another awesome Sunday night. Another awesome Lord's Day. I say that at the end.
Yeah. Well, you can say it now.
Has been an awesome Lord's Day.
It has been.
Yeah. They're pretty much always awesome. But, I can't believe it's almost election day.
I know.
It's really kind of scary. I can't believe October's almost over.
I know.
This year has been flying.
Yeah.
And now there's only two more months of the year, really.
Yeah, that's about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of has a whole Brood of Vipers theme to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You Brood of Vipers, who warns you of the coming wrath?
Yeah. Are we going to have a Gift of Grace Ministries New Year's Eve party? Man, probably not.
No? We might want to have one for all of our listeners.
That's no problem. They'll both fit in my...
They'll both.
Yeah.
Two or three of them.
Yeah, we'll have it in the room.
Yeah.
I'll have it in the car. Anyway, we've been talking about serious discipleship and speaking of the upcoming election and the, you might say, lack of serious discipleship that we've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like we talked about last week, is there's a remnant of followers. There's a remnant, however many there are. I mean, millions. Relatively speaking, they're few.
Yeah.
But there's millions. And if you look all over the world, there's, you know, many millions. And the God never goes without a witness in the world.
Right.
And it's never going to be 100% devoid of witness.
Right.
And even though the pride and the, and boy, you know, Paul talks a lot about this, you know, as we get to the end time and men will be lovers of themselves and all this stuff. And we see all this stuff really unfolding over the last years or however many years before our own eyes. You know, we get back to the fact that the message of discipleship actually stands in complete contrast to what the world tells you. Now, that's not a surprise to us because we hear that all through the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the world. Right. You know, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Right.
And there's his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a surprise that it stands in opposition, but in a culture that glorifies self and comfort and entertainment and financial well-being, you know, you have Jesus saying, well, you know, if you want to come after me, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what good did it do you? If you're ashamed of me, then I'm going to be ashamed of you. And this is a stark contrast. And we talked a little bit about this last week, where Satan has done a masterful job of really instilling this kind of culture. And it's not just in the Western world. It's pretty much coming up everywhere. And in order to really stand on the word and stand on the rock, so to speak, as we've been talking about for the last few months, it's pride has to be gotten out of the way. And self-centeredness has to be gotten out of the way. Mm-hmm. And there has to be a denial of yourself in many things that have to do with this, and surrender, which on the surface of it sounds bleak.
Yeah.
You know, if you tell somebody who has a lot of stuff, has a lot of money, has a really fun life going on, that you've decided to just kind of renounce all that stuff and you're going to follow Jesus from now on, and, you know, I may have to take up my cross every day and I have to deny myself every day, and, you know, I don't care about losing my life anymore because it's for his sake that I'm doing all these things, the other guy's going to think this is bleak.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that sounds horrible. Yeah, that sounds horrible. But, you know, when when you do it, mm-hmm. and most of you hopefully that are listening have some degree of that.
Yeah.
When you do it, you realize it is not bleak. It's actually exciting, and it's actually fulfilling. There isn't anything more fulfilling. It actually gives you a deep sense of well-being and accomplishment, even when things are going bad, that you have the truth to latch on to. Before I was a believer, I used to think Christians were the most boring people on earth. So I would say, man, that's really boring what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to hear a speaker on Tuesday night. You're going to church on Tuesday night. Like, why do you want to go hear this speaker? That sounds really boring.
Right.
He's going to talk about what? No, no thanks. I'm going to go home and watch the game, or I'm going to go, you know, do whatever.
Right.
But then, you know, since I've been involved in doing ministry, there isn't anything more fun.
Exactly.
It's exciting. I mean, this is way more fun than being a heathen.
Well, as you're talking, and we've been talking about serious discipleship, one of the things that the Lord's bringing me to here is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13,
mm-hmm.
where he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction,
mm-hmm.
and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few."
Yeah.
Now, in our culture, the path of salvation is wide and broad.
Yeah, that's right. We've turned it around.
Everybody's on the salvation ship now.
Yep.
And we're all going. We've all attained it, and utopia is just around the corner. But the words of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who was, who is, and who is to come, says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few."
Yes.
Now, if Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, says those words, and culture is telling us, "Oh, no, 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 no. Nope. Hold on. It's not that way. Trust us. It's this way."
Mm-hmm.
I would rather trust in the words of Jesus Christ than the word of the day.
Yeah.
Because we see the promiscuity, we see the pride, we see the greed, we see all these things that are just palpable in our culture, in our society. And we have to be a witness to the kingdom, to the gospel,
mm-hmm.
to be a light. And I think, you know, in talking about being serious disciples, we oftentimes, I think, forget about being a light to others,
mm-hmm.
to have the courage to say, you know, that just doesn't become you. When somebody does something that's just off-colored, or they are acting in a manner that is not really reflective of their own baptismal call. Because there are many people that are baptized, called into Christ. But it's like anything else. We have to grow into it. We have to become who God's created us to be. You know, if we're not bearing good fruit, if we're just going out and doing our own thing,
mm-hmm.
and we're not really taken seriously what God has called us to and what he's asking us to do, if we just want to joke around all the time and you know, certainly it's nice to have fun, but there comes a time where what Jesus did for us on the cross is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And it demands a response. And yes. If I just callously go by the cross and go, yeah, he did that for me. Okay, well.
Yeah. Now I can do whatever I want.
Now I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Yeah.
Plus I'm going to be rich.
Yeah.
Oh, there I go again.
Yeah. That is, you know, what is our response? What is my response to what Jesus has done for me? What is my response to his word when I read it? And I read a passage such as that says the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. Mm-hmm. And those who enter through it are many. You know, in Luke, when they ask, Lord, will only a few people be saved? And he says to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. There they are. Lord, open the door for us. And he will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from.
Yeah.
And they're going to reply, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he's going to say, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be willing and grinding of teeth when they see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are cast out.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of people in our culture who we all want to think we're doing the good deed. We're all doing the right things. And it's a matter of the sacrifice that we offer, Cain and Abel,
mm-hmm.
as an example.
Which we're going to do a show on maybe next week.
Maybe.
Or maybe right after the election.
This might be a lead-in. Because what takes place with the story of Cain and Abel? There's two sacrifices that are offered.
Mm-hmm.
One is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
One is not.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, the question is, why was Abel's sacrifice acceptable? Why was Cain's not?
Yeah.
Was it the first fruit, the best part of the day? Was it the first offering to God, or was it just some leftovers that I had to?
No.
I kind of got off the ground and thought, let me put this. I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use this. Yeah, let me give this to God.
Yeah.
What is, but in our daily lives, as I go through my day, what do I offer to God?
Yeah.
We don't think about it in these terms, and I think it's essential in discipleship that we do think about this in terms of our daily life, because what is my life? Is my life an acceptable offering to God?
Yeah. I mean, even well-meaning believers have
fallen
into this.
Exactly.
Say, I used to do all this stuff, but, now the kids are really busy and I'm really busy at work,
mm-hmm.
so I'll go when I can.
And the offense, and the part that offends people is, well, are you trying to say that I'm like a wretched sinner? I'm like, no. Refocus.
Mm-hmm.
Examine your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to examine your own heart in this matter, then what else aren't you what else aren't you willing to examine your own heart in that might lead you astray? Mm-hmm. The devil's tactics are very persuasive very seductive.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always thinks that, I would spot it a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're never going to get me.
Same strategy he used with Eve, he still uses because it works.
It works, exactly.
It appeals to our pride.
Mm-hmm.
It appeals to our desire to advance ourselves.
Yeah.
You can be God if you eat this.
Yeah.
I mean, it applies to everything that you see in people. I mean, this is the nature we've inherited
yeah.
now. Everything that you see in people, he can take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I tell all the groups I teach commonly, I say, when I'm driving home tonight, the chances of me robbing a store are zero. I'm not going to stop and rob a store.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. The chances of me, the chances of me stopping and murdering somebody are zero.
That's really
good. I'm not going to do that. And, you can go through a whole list of things, but the bottom line of it is not everything is zero.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has something that Satan can put a hook into. And for some people, it's power. For some people, it's lust. For some people, it's money.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's pleasure and relaxation. I mean, whatever it is,
yeah.
He watches you, knows how you think, knows what you do, knows how you react to situations.
Right.
And says, well, here's the tailor-made approach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk him into robbing that old lady over there, but I can probably get him to do this. He knows the strategy.
Yeah.
He, we've talked many times about the approach to Eve, but it's the same approach, different ways,
mm-hmm.
because we all have that same humanity. We
yeah.
all have the same type of mind. We all have the same kinds of weaknesses and desires. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of weakness and desire. Well, yeah. Don't you think this would be good if you had that? Mm-hmm. You know, if you did, you know, look how much money that guy over there is making.
Yeah.
He's not going to church and doing all that weird stuff you're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, God's blessing him. Look all that stuff he's got.
Yep.
So what are you doing with all this? But, you know, that's not discipleship. But again, when you're trying to be a disciple, the attacks are going to intensify and you can't handle that on your own. You know, the book of James exactly. says, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, you know, he's talking about resisting in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you resist in the name of Jesus. You resist using scripture. You resist using, you know, what you've learned in your prayer life and what you've learned in your, you know, all these different things that you do.
Yeah.
That the devil can't deal with all that. You know, he can't deal with being cast out in the name of Jesus. If you say, hey, listen, devil, I know what you're up to. You just get away from me. He's just like slapping his knee. He doesn't have any knees, but he's just like slapping his knees laughing.
Well, because you're not using the name of Jesus,
yes.
who has all the power,
yeah,
all
exactly.
power and authority.
He's not
yeah.
afraid of anything else. And, you know, in being a serious disciple, you become an enemy of his right off the bat. Right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't care, if you don't want to follow, if you don't want discipleship, yeah, no, he's not going to mess with you that much. He's just going to just sort of keep you on the back burner and going around. But when you start to do ministry, when you start to do serious discipleship,
yeah.
then you're going to see attacks.
You get, yeah.
And I want to go to Luke chapter 9.
yeah. You know, we should do a show on just the spiritual warfare aspects of
oh,
ministry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we could do Ephesians 6 and all that. Yeah.
Luke chapter 9.
How about reading 57 to the end of the chapter? This is one of my favorites. Book of Luke's one of my favorite books.
Is that in the Old Testament?
No.
Oh, okay. oh, okay. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus answered him, Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. And to another he said, Follow me. But he replied, Let me go first and bury my father. But he answered him, Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. To him Jesus said, No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God.
Now, this is serious. We're talking about serious discipleship. Here's three examples. You know, we talked about the parable of the sower, you know, the soil being different. Now, here's three examples of three different men who encounter him in a disciple kind of setting. Oh, boy, it's a break already. Anyway, let's listen to this. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, he wisdom, power, and the power.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So as I started to say before Paul Wilbur started playing again, where is he? He's like always popping in here.
Comes and goes.
There's three men involved. Now, the first one is eager. You know, Jesus is walking by, and he pipes right up and says, I'll follow you wherever you go. You know, that's kind of an easy thing to say. You know, it's kind of like when you were talking about the parable of the sower and the seed lands and it starts to grow for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then this guy pipes right up. He says, I'll follow you wherever you go.
Yeah.
And Jesus gives, you know, it's kind of like an emotional, okay, I'll come.
Yep. I'm all in.
I'm all in. That's, you know, this sounds cool. And he's very eager and Jesus gives him kind of a weird response. You know, this is the, when you tell somebody, you know, I'll follow you, and you get a response like, well, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You think, what in the world is he talking about?
Yeah, that's
but,
that's
you
a
know,
different
when
response.
You see here, this guy, although he's eager and enthusiastic, which is good, he doesn't realize the cost of what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He doesn't realize the suffering that might be involved, the discomfort that might be involved, the change of his life that might be involved. He doesn't realize those things. And Jesus is saying, you know what? You may not even have the basic necessities of life if you come and follow me.
Mm.
Like foxes have a place to live.
Yeah.
Birds have a place to live. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have any of that stuff.
Right.
He, in his divinity, of course, was the creator of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was the creator of everything that this guy could see.
Right.
But now he's here in his humanity. He doesn't have anything. You know, he had, you know, a cloak and some stuff that the soldiers divided.
Right.
He had to borrow a donkey for mm-hmm. Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
He didn't exactly say, oh, you know, I got enough financing here. We can do whatever we want for the next 3 years. So
yeah, I got that mansion over there. We can have the upper room there.
And you know, this guy doesn't realize that he's the creator. He doesn't have all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Paul tells us in, 2 Corinthians 8, which 2 Corinthians is one of my favorite books, is because of his poverty, we're rich.
Mm-hmm.
Because he condescends to come into humanity, leaves the glory that he was in, and comes into our pathetic life, we are rich because of this. And interestingly, he calls himself the Son of Man again, like mm-hmm. we were talking about before.
Yeah.
He didn't say the Son of God doesn't have these things. He says the Son of Man. You know, he's a flesh and blood descendant of Adam and a flesh and blood descendant of Abraham and, you know, the other patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, all the way down the line through David. So I'm here as flesh and blood Messiah, and I don't have anything. I don't have any place to lay my head. I don't even know where I'm going to sleep tonight
mm-hmm.
because we might be sleeping on the side of the road. We might be sleeping at some nice person's house who says, oh, you guys can crash here if you want. Or, you know, there might be a Motel 6 on the way. If Judas has enough money in the bag, we can get some rooms. But he doesn't know where he's going to stay. And so he says, you know, these things are not what's important to me. These things are not important to me. These are the things you have to put aside because I said, I'm going to say later in chapter 14, although he didn't say that, he says, you know, you have to deny yourselves. You have to carry your cross every day. You have to expect suffering. You have to expect tribulation. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. You may be following, and the day after tomorrow, you may find out that you have some illness. Mm-hmm. You may be following, and 2 months from now, you might have a heart attack and be laid up for 2 months. I mean, whatever it is, you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
But there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be reasons why these things happen. But he says to the eager guy, don't expect you're going to have even basic necessities of life when you're following me. Because you don't know, you may not.
Yeah.
And that's a good message for somebody. I've encountered people. I'm sure you've encountered people because you've done more ministry than I've done over the years. But you encounter people that say, whoa, that sounds awesome. I want to do that too. Mm-hmm. I would do. But then, you know, they're kind of like, well, yeah. You don't ever actually get around to it.
Right. Well, it goes along lines with the calculating the cost to build that tower.
Yeah.
Because this goes right in line with that, because the person is saying, I'll follow you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you.
Yeah.
I'll never let them kill you. Get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me.
Yeah.
You know, maturing as a disciple, there's always ongoing formation.
Mm-hmm.
In forming a disciple.
Yeah.
You know, John Paul II's Catechesis Tridente, the handing on of the faith, is an excellent apostolic letter, exhortation, I think it is, that no matter what your faith denomination or background is, it's an excellent read, because he talks in plain truth about the handing on of the faith,
mm-hmm.
that it's not mine, but it's that of the one who sent me.
Yeah.
I'm not there to express my own ideas. I'm there to hand on the faith in truth,
mm-hmm.
purely, without bias,
mm-hmm.
I'm not to put my own spin on it.
Right. We don't edit it.
We don't edit it.
Yeah.
And in our culture, a lot of people in the church are mm-hmm. guilty of this.
Right.
And they will answer for it
mm-hmm.
because they are proclaiming their own gospel and mm-hmm. not the gospel of Jesus right. Christ.
I don't think he really meant that.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesus said, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything else is of the evil one.
Right.
What don't I understand about that? I mean, that's as pretty straightforward as you can get.
Yeah.
But I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, well, foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. If you're okay with that, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's telling him what the cost is going to be in a minute way.
That's right. You don't know where you're going to be sleeping tonight.
But many people will come up against the formation and go, why do I need to learn all this? Why do I have, why can't I just get to this? And I think you touched on this about, you know, like this fast food type theology or formation that we want to go through and go, can I just go online and get the document that says I'm an ordained minister for $49.95? You know, and just get it over with. Come on. Then I can go out and then I can start doing this stuff. But you have no formational, you have no formational experience or background to do it. I mean, and
we can start our own seminary online.
That's an awesome idea. No, it's not.
For $49.99.
No, it's not. But I know that when I first encountered the Lord, there's that zeal that you have when you first encounter the Lord that you want to tell everybody about Jesus. And that's not a bad thing.
No.
But a lot of times what is not there is that there's somebody there to tell you, you know what? There is, what you have is the zeal of God, right? You know, what you have is, you know, you have that fire within you,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get back to training, because you need to run the race.
Mm-hmm.
And if you run too fast, you're going to burn yourself out and you're going to sputter.
Yeah.
Because you have to start immersing yourself in prayer. You have to start immersing yourself in the presence of the Lord, because mm-hmm. the source of life that you receive is from God and God alone.
Yes.
And if you don't go back to that wellspring of life, you will dry up.
Yeah. Last week I heard a great teaching by Dr. Tony Evans, who I really like, at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas. Many of you probably know who he is. But he was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and how you have to be aware of it. You have to plug into it, and you have to use that as your source of power, and you can't, you know, do these things on your own. And he used the example of, you have, your house is wired for electricity,
mm-hmm.
and there's electricity coming from the power plant, and it's in the wires of your house.
Yep.
But if you don't plug your appliances into the socket,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to work.
Exactly.
Your refrigerator just kind of sits there, and all your food rots if it's not plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
Your microwave just looks like a box if you don't plug it in.
Yeah.
You got to plug yourself into the power. And I thought that was great. So I'm driving to work one morning, and I'm listening to this, and I'm just like laughing as I'm steering the car. But it's true. We don't plug ourselves into the power.
Mm-hmm.
We just expect, if I do this, if I read this article and I do that and I go on Sunday morning and I'm all set.
Well, there are a lot of people that think that, God's going to work in your life anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
What difference does it make? And there is an element of truth to that. And if I can explain, there is, when Sandy and I were not really following God, we were just living our life and we weren't going to church. God certainly provided for us
mm-hmm.
in ways that we didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And after we came back to the Lord, he revealed that to us. Like, wow, God's hand was there. God's hand was here. God was protecting us. But now, when you enter into that power, when you enter into that relationship with God, now you have to start responding to the grace.
Yes.
Because if you don't,
exactly.
you're not going to grow.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've had similar experiences in so many ways looking back. I've been a believer for a little over 20 years. But when I look back at before that, I see all the things that were arranged so that things could end up the way they are now,
mm-hmm.
both in my family life and my personal life and my professional life. I mean, all these things were working to get me to where I am now. I just mm-hmm. didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah.
I thought I was just doing it all myself. And, it's like, I think that's called common grace. Everybody gets some degree of grace, but
mm-hmm.
it's, you're right. When you come into the kingdom and you are working on being a disciple, and I say you're working on it because you're never going to get to the point where you say, well, now I'm the perfect disciple. I'm just totally surrendered now, because it's, never going to happen while you're in this world.
Yeah, you got to remember that Jesus said no disciple is greater than his master.
That's right. But it's interesting. But then let's get to guy number two, because this is an interesting thing too. We got to get through these three guys before
the
end of the show.
Yeah, he's a quite character.
Yeah, this other guy, Jesus calls, which is interesting. The first guy piped up and said, I'll follow you. he was just like some guy standing along the way. And
a
said,
wannabe.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Here's this guy. He's a really good teacher. And once in a while, he does a miracle and he says a lot of interesting stuff. And I'm on board. Now, here, the second guy, it says Jesus called to him and said, follow me, which is interesting. The guy didn't volunteer. He called him and said, follow me. Because, of course, if we go back to John chapter 15, which is one of the chapters we quote most, I think, on this show, because John's gospel is my favorite gospel and certainly one of my favorite books.
One of your favorite books.
One of my favorite books. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many other places, it's not flesh and blood that did this for you. It's my father did this for you. Paul writes, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because there is no way you can produce in your mind the idea that Jesus is Lord, because it, number one, doesn't make any sense intellectually.
Right.
I mean, there's a guy who died on a cross. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's weird.
Well, yeah. If that's the case, everybody can see that. Everybody would be a believer.
That's right. That's right. So, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And here he's choosing this guy. Just follow me. So, the guy has an interesting response, you know? Let me go bury my father first. Okay? Now, the grammar that's used here in the Greek means that his father wasn't dead yet. It means, well, when my father dies, then I'll be on board. Okay, Jesus is saying, you got to come now. This is an urgent call. The gospel's urgent. Mm-hmm. You're coming now. Now's the time I want you to come. Now's the time for this ministry. Now's the time for the message of salvation. Now's the gospel. He goes, well, you know, it's cool and everything, but, you know, I got to wait till my father dies or else I can't come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how does that translate to us? Well, there's family needs. Like, well, I can't just come and follow you. I have to take care of my family. I have to go to work. I have to pay my house payment. I have to buy a new car. There's a lot of things I got to do.
Yeah.
But then when all those things are done, I'll come. The kids are growing up. When the kids are done with college, then I'll come. Because then I won't have so much financial pressure. When I retire, then I'll come. Because if I don't have to go to work, I'm going to have a lot more time. So it's not that I don't want to follow. It's just I can't do it right now.
Yeah.
Because I have to take care of these other things. I have, and many of those things are good things.
Yeah, they're all good things.
Worldly care. I can't do it now, but I'm going to do it. I just want you to know that I'm going to be on board as soon as the old man dies.
Yeah.
Or as soon as the kids are done or, you know, whatever it is. And again, Jesus has an interesting response. You know, he says, let the dead bury the dead. But you go preach the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, he's not talking about dead people burying dead people. He's talking about spiritually dead people burying spiritually dead people.
Yeah.
You know, let the dead people bury the dead people. You go preach the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because you want to be alive. You want to bring life to people.
Right.
You want to preach the gospel. You want to bring the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that these worldly things are there, let the worldly people take care of it.
Yeah, you're there to proclaim life.
Yeah, he's not saying your father's not important. He's not saying, you know, have some other guy bury your father, don't have anything to do with your father. He's using the approach again like he did before last time we talked about whatever it was. We talked about if you don't hate your father and your mother, you can't come with me. You know, he's saying, I'm more important than your father. I'm more important than your worldly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let the worldly stuff take care of the worldly stuff. You know, if you leave your job, which you did, in fact, if you leave your job, there'll be other people there at the company that will take care of whatever you were doing. The company will take care of itself.
I had a hard time with that.
The worldly things will take care of the worldly things.
Yeah. You know, as you bring that up, I that's interesting because I was kind of thinking about that. Is that, you know, when I felt the call to go from a secular job to follow the Lord, and basically it wasn't like that it was that easy of an understanding. It wasn't that easy to understand because it was a year-long period of applying for jobs, not getting any real response to those interviews, and then going, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Where do you want me to go? And for 6 months, journeying and then eventually finding a position in as a music minister in the church, and the Lord opening the door, but we were also down to our last paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, it was very stressful. And if my wife and I were not praying we weren't that close to God as we were, that would have never been possible because I would have gotten worried. She would have gotten worried. I would have just went out and got a job and did something else, but we persevered.
Mm-hmm.
And now if I look back 9.5 years later and what's taking place right now, it's all God's grace and it's all a blessing
Been 9.5 years already?
It's not been 9.5 years. Yeah.
I would have been totally freaked out down to the last paycheck.
I can tell you with all honesty, when I got the call that position was mine, I did. I dropped on my knees and I just said, thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Because it was everything we needed right at the right time.
So?
Yeah.
Oof. It's like a break. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We got to finish this third guy.
Yes.
Before it turns into another show. Anyway, so the third guy says, I'll follow, but first I got to go home and say bye to everybody. That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah. I mean,
how many people would say, okay, I'll come right now? It's like, you know, you kind of have to go home and tell people that you're doing this. So, you know, why doesn't he want him to do this? I mean, he starts talking about putting your hand to the plow and not looking back. So this guy says, I got to go home and say bye to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still thinking about the worldly thing. He's talking about, well, I got to go home and say bye. And so, like, what's going to happen when he goes home? Are his parents going to say, you're going to do what?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go with who? You're going to go where? I heard about this guy, but you know, we were kind of hoping you were going to go to law school and, you know, may have a career and do these kind of things. Or, you know, why can't you be like your brother who's a computer engineer, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Says you're going to go do what? You don't even know who this guy is. You don't know where he's going. You don't know what's going to happen to him. So then you start to be influenced by that. You know, we used the example of Jews for Jesus a few weeks ago, where your parents say, this is kind of crazy what you're going to do. You haven't thought this through. This doesn't make any sense. It isn't logical. So they can talk you out of serving. You may be distracted by this, but the gospel's urgent. Urgent. It says he wants you to follow him now. If you go home, you may lose the momentum of this. You may mess up the timing of this. You may get distracted into not doing it, because now when you get home and you think about it overnight and you get up in the morning and say, well, you know, Dad has a good point. He's not going to notice I'm not there anyway, so I'm not going back. You've been distracted by, you've missed the calling by the worldly things.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus uses this thing about when you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, you have to think at that time, what was a plow? It was this wooden thing that had another piece of wood that broke the earth. And you had animals hooked up to it. The animals were strapped to the plow. You were strapped to the plow, and you were strapped even to the animals.
Yep.
And the animals went in a line as long as you were guiding them. So as long as your eyes were fixed forward, the animals were going forward, and the plow's making a straight furrow.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back, the animals can waver. The animals can go off the line. You're going to start to get a crooked furrow. In other words, if you put your hand to the plow, if you're going to work for the kingdom, but you keep looking back and say, well, you know, when I was doing that stuff over there, that was kind of fun. And boy, I wish I was home with my family now doing that other thing. And I wish I wasn't out here in this place. And I wish I kind of would have stayed at my job at the computer place. You look at the furrow and the furrow gets crooked because now your eyes aren't fixed forward. So the plow is a metaphor for you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus as you go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make the straight furrow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, somebody walks by your farm and says, geez, look at this. This guy must have been drunk when he plowed this field because the furrows were all over the place.
Yeah.
Now, you know, plowing an acre of land in those days, that was hard work.
Yeah.
And being in the kingdom is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to put all your effort and all your muscle into it. I mean, the animals are doing a lot of work, but you are doing a lot of work too.
Yeah.
Guiding them, holding on to this thing. And if you're looking back to your previous life, which is what he's talking about, you're not going to make a straight furrow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, holding on to that plow as it was being pulled through the ground was not easy. I mean, you had to be strong.
Yeah.
You had to be strong because the animals are still walking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit a rock or something,
they're like big oxen or horses. Or
yeah. So you have to be strong, but the parallel is you also have to be spiritually strong.
Right.
You know, you have to have spiritual strength, but that only comes from God and God alone.
That's right. That's the only way we can look forward and stay focused.
Yeah.
Because we can't do it on our own power.
Yeah. I mean, we have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord in all the times of distraction, just as, you know, Jesus told Peter, you know, oh, you have little faith, when he asked him to come out and walk on the water, well, he took his eyes off the Lord. And then he began to get consumed by his own fear.
Yes.
And he was sunk.
Quite exactly.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, there's three, as you're saying, there's three men here. Or there's three people that are saying, Lord, I'm going to go follow you. But only one he invites.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The other two say, I will follow you wherever you go, and I'll follow you, but first I'm going to go do this. So two people kind of pipe up and go, yeah, I'll do that. But Jesus calls the middle one and says, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so there is a call to discipleship about, I've chosen you.
And it's an urgent call.
Yeah.
You don't have time to go home and deal with your father. You right. don't have time to go home and deal with your
right.
office. But you can't go home and do your paperwork first.
Right. But I didn't choose him. He mm-hmm. chose me.
Right.
And a lot of times in the church, we think everybody's called to everything. And that's not the case. Because Jesus has specific things for each one of us to do because we're the body.
That's right. Paul talks about that. Talks about using different parts of the body.
Yeah.
You know, the eye can say, I wish I was an ear, and the ear can say, I wish I was an eye, and, you know, the foot can right. say, I wish I was a hand.
And when that happens, it leads to jealousy, yes, rivalries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the show's over already. I got wow. through most of my notes.
You did?
This is a first.
Awesome.
I love that gospel. Anyway, I know you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that... as Jesus calls you, that you would respond to his call with Hineni, here I am, Lord. I've come to do your will. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.